thankfulness. It's pretty self-explanatory. We're heading into Thanksgiving. But today, we wanted to take a little bit of time today and next week to talk about the basic Christian habit of gratitude, of thankfulness, of being thankful. A couple years ago, I ran across a podcast called The Happiness Lab, which is basically run by a professor on the science of living a good life. There are such people for whom they get paid to teach and study what makes people happy. A couple years ago, as I was listening to this, I kept getting frustrated as I was listening to the podcast, because this is not a Christian teacher. Like, this is, she's not anti-Christian. I don't think, I never heard any word about it. But it was really a diagnosis of Christian doctrine on basically scientific terms. That if you're going to look at the basic Christian practices, well, or even the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, it's really a podcast saying the science shows that if you actually act like a Christian, you're going to live a better life. Now, they never said that. That's my summary of listening to hours of this podcast. But it is an entire thing about self-sacrifice. Self-sacrifice, an entire thing about generosity. By the way, there's no greater lever in moving your heart than in giving. Just, put a pin in that, think through it. But also, science shows and has shown for a long time that if you're going to move a lever on your heart to actually live a better life, it is actually a lever of gratitude, of thankfulness. Now, typically, the way they do that is they do a study where they make you be grateful for other people in your life. That's really next week's sermon. But I want to highlight that there have been some few Christian organizations recently that have come back and said, well, what does it do if you don't actually thank other humans, but you just begin with thanking God? I actually think everything really starts with that. I think it's really easy to thank others, to be grateful for others when you've first given thanks to God. I think so much about our life is getting our priorities straight, that God is actually the maker of us all, that we actually get to serve him and are privileged to serve with others in that process. But the beginning point is not actually my gratitude even for you or for other humans, but is my gratitude for God. And here's why I think it matters. One, the science shows it, so just trust that. Jimmy found these articles surrounding it, where if you just wake up in the morning and you go to bed and you thank a divine creator — they were not specifically Christian, although, I am — they're saying that the basic framework of how to live a happy, good, productive life is to wake up in the morning and go to bed giving thanks to God. And I think the answer is for that is this. I think the reason is because we were made to live in relationship with God. Both in Genesis and Revelation, God has designed us to be thankful, to enjoy his presence. And it's really hard to be both a grumbler and a thanksgiver at the same time. Right? It's really difficult to hold those two things at once. Now, I do believe humans can generally hold two emotions at the same time. You can both love someone and be angry with them. Hello? On the other hand, as a basic human habit, it is very difficult for us humans to be perpetual whiners and perpetually in gratefulness. I think about this on the golf course. Have you ever played with someone who you know on the first tee, they're just going to whine about every shot? Like, they exist. And all of a sudden, you're starting on the tee box, and they just complain about being on the right side of the fairway. And I'm like, oh, man, it's going to be a long day, y'all. Right? It's not a... And then there are people who end up in the sand off their first shot, or they just dribble it 30 feet, and they look at you, and they're embarrassed. And I'm going, hey, don't worry about it. We've all done it. Here's the deal. Number one, we've all done it. Number two, it doesn't matter how good you are. It matters what your attitude is about whatever shot you have, right? Now, it's not just about golf, is it? It's about everything in life. But the whole question about gratitude is, what's your framework? There are people who are grumbling about an 80th birthday. There are other people like Vicky, who's very happy that today's her 80th birthday. Happy birthday, Vicky, by the way.
See, now I've just embarrassed her, but that's fine. But you can tell, see the difference. There are some people that when their kids grow older, they just start hating it. I don't want another birthday. I don't want them to grow older. I get it. Or you could just celebrate the fact that they're growing older. You get to choose, right? We get to choose who we are, what we think, how we navigate it. I'm here to tell you, Jennifer and I and Scott, us pastors, we get to sit with people in the best and the worst scenarios. And I'm here to tell you, it's not about circumstances. It's about habit of who you wish to be. When you wake up in the morning, do you give thanks to God? When you go to bed at night, do you give thanks to God? When things are good, do you give thanks to God? When things are bad, do you give thanks to God? If that's your framing, frankly, everything, even the bad things, feel a little bit better here on earth. Here's how it says it in Psalms. Here's the command of Psalm 100. I don't think it's an accident, by the way, that Psalm 100 is this piece. Like, I'm pretty sure when they orchestrated the Psalms, they went, let's make 100 a really good one. Let's make this one a happy one. They're going to need to go back to this. So if you don't know any of the Psalm numbers, just go back to Psalm 100. Here it is. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is good. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. One of my really cool experiences was after I graduated college, before I went to seminary, I lived with my parents back in Wichita, Kansas. And I had no idea what to do that summer. I had gotten a scholarship to seminary, so I wasn't as worried maybe as I should have been about making money that summer. But I decided an experience was more valuable than that. And so I called the largest black church that was a Methodist church really in, I don't know, like 10 state area, was just down the street. So I called the senior pastor. He didn't realize that my dad was his bishop when I called. I was just a random guy. I didn't say, hi, my dad's your bishop. Can I come work for you? So by the end of the call, he figured it out and went, yeah, of course you can come. Just, you should have started with that. I didn't know what to do. So I ended up working in a church that was, I don't know, 95% African-American, 5% white or Anglo, and I got to serve for a summer. I did it for free. I called the pastor. I said, Junius, I don't need any money. I know I don't have this experience. Would you allow me to come hang out? It was a bigger ask than I realized. By the end, even before he realized who my dad was, he's like, all right, sure, come on, hang out with us. I have so many memories that shaped my, preaching, teaching, thinking. One of which was on gratitude. The worship leader, her name was Rhonda. And every single Sunday morning, in every single service, she would start off with, all right, everybody, stand up, clap, and give thanks to God for today. I want to hear you clapping. Was God good to you this week? And I'm looking around, and I know not everyone had a good week. I mean, it's just human, right? I look around this room, and I know some of your stories. That's what we get to do as pastors, is we get to preach to the same congregation and the same flock, and I know some losses. I know some pain, but I also know some joy. And Rhonda would look at you, and if you weren't clapping, she'd look at you and say, did you wake up this morning? If you did, then start giving some thanks. And I remember that framing. Actually, it's part of what, in the fall of 2020, one of the things that I realized about our church was we were starting our church services off wrong. We were starting with how hard things were. And I'm not here to, listen, for preachers, this was the hardest season any preacher's ever known. It was a very tough season. And one of the things I remembered was Rhonda's framing of, did you wake up today? Are you here? Did the sun rise in the east, and is it going to set in the west? Is there anything good that you can claim today? And I realize it's why I talked to Robert, and we decided we'd do a pivot to joy. And that's why that fall and that spring, all we did was talk about joy. Because Paul, even when he's in prison, talked about his joy, even through his suffering. His thankfulness for what God was doing in that place. One of the really interesting stories that from the Happiness Lab podcast was about a wounded veteran who had burns over 70% of his body. And when you asked him about that horrible time in his life, he looked back and he says, I'm actually thankful for it
because it gave me so many opportunities to care for other people. Last night, I'm at this event for Folds of Honor, and there's a young man, I don't know, 12 years old or so, stood up, talked about the loss of his dad before he even knew his dad. It was on his 8th deployment in Afghanistan. And he and his mom are standing up and giving the speech at this thing. And I mean, tears are just flowing, right? I mean, just the story of a young man who loses his dad. And his mom stands up explaining and telling her story. And she just said, listen, I'm just here to give thanks because I'm not alone in this process. You see, I'm sitting there looking at this young man who lost his dad and this woman who lost her husband. And they have realized that the secret is not about just giving thanks when things are good, but giving thanks when thanks when things are not. That the Christian habit is not of giving thanks to God only when things are simple or easy, but rather giving thanks to God even in the most difficult moments. If you're interested in one of my favorite books, particularly now that you know World War II stuff keeps coming back up in our world today, there's a great book called The Hiding Place about Christians who sheltered Jews in Amsterdam in the early 1940s, ended up going to concentration camp for it. It's called The Hiding Place. There's a whole movie about it now out with Corrie Ten Boom. Great story about how she was in the concentration camp and there were fleas in the barracks, and her sister, Betsy, was actually the better Christian than her, she says. And she started giving thanks for the fleas in her prayers. Now, I have to tell you, I've never given thanks for fleas in my entire life. And yet, she come to find out later on that those fleas were the reasons they were able to have Bible studies, because the soldiers didn't want to get the fleas and so never came and cracked down on them. You ought to read the book. It's powerful. But it goes to this piece. Christian faithfulness is not about just being good to God when things are good, or being good or being angry at God when things are bad, but a habit, an orientation of, did you wake up this morning? If so, let's give thanks to God. Even for the fleas, Lord God, can you use them and find a way where we can be thankful for them? I don't think God causes every bad thing. I think God redeems every bad thing. And so when you read in Scripture, Paul writing in the book of Philippians, he begins the letter to Philippians and he's in prison. He's in prison, y'all. Listen, I'm here to tell you, I've never been to prison. I hope not to, but you know, other Christians have done it. And you want to know the attitude I pray God gives me in that moment? It's this. Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, every, he said, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The reason why I think gratitude works like this is it's really hard to grumble as you give thanks. It's really hard to whine if you're truly thankful. I think you can have, you know, multiple feelings at once in your soul. There have been moments in the worst parts of my life where I have wept and even through my tears said, but Lord, thank you that I'm not alone in this moment. The secret, I think, is that when you think about such things, as Paul describes, it reshapes and reforms your life and your heart and your framework. Who do you wish to be? Someone who's frustrated about not everything going well? I've seen people grumble when they get on the green in one shot, because it wasn't on the right part of it. I've seen people frustrated because they didn't get a deal and they have a lot of money. I've seen people frustrated when the world isn't just 100% what they want, but it's 99.9%. Sometimes I think actually having resources makes you less likely to be grateful for the fact that you're just alive today. So the question I have again is this. Who do you want to be? Who do we want to be? I'll tell you, we're about to come to this table. And as I think about this table and I stand before the Lamb who was slain, I think to God. Not only do I thank you for being alive, Lord God Almighty, I thank you for the sacrifice of your Son who gave his life, gave his blood for me. Thank you, Lord. That's enough. Amen. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, may your Spirit be with us today. May we be so formed by the gratitude of our creation and our redemption of you that we are transformed. God, when I wake up, may I give thanks. When I go to bed, may I give thanks. When there are fleas or bad things in my life, God, may I give thanks. As the Christians have done before me, may I be so formed by gratitude of you that it shapes every part of my day. Amen.